Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we review and discuss your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on this program, first in the Northern California Bay Area, world famous juggler Greg Larson. How you doing, Greg?
Fantastic. How about yourself, Ozzy?
I'm doing well. Very excited to talk about this movie that we're about to talk about today, Fanboys. Also with us, ladies and gentlemen, Flesh Wound producer Todd. How you doing, Todd?
I am chilling. How about yourself, Ozzy V?
I'm okay. That was weird, wasn't it? It was, because especially there was one moment when it looked like you were hitchhiking for a second. I don't know if that was your variation of trying to hitchhike your way off the show because you don't want to talk about this movie. I don't know. Is that the case?
No, I was just pointing at you talking about Greg, and I was pointing at Greg.
Okay, good call. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we are reviewing and discussing the 2009 film Fanboys, which was released on February 6th of 2009. Todd, do you have a trailer available?
Yes, sir, I do.
Let's please roll it. Thank you.
These are the most secure buildings on Earth. The White House, the Pentagon, the Kremlin, and George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch. It started as the ultimate heist.
Linus laid the whole thing out in fifth grade.
What's your game plan?
We storm the ranch or we die trying.
This is a suicide mission.
It will become the ultimate road trip.
Strap in, fellas.
Star Wars!
It may be crazy.
Yeah!
It may be dangerous.
Bam, bam, bam. Ah!
Gary Knowles.
Which one of you is Windows?
I'm Windows. Nice to meet you.
But if you make the right connections,
it's all there. Maps, passcodes.
How did you score all this stuff?
Are you kidding? I'm William Shatner. I can score anything.
The possibilities.
You want to take your shirt off?
As you wish.
Warm.
Hutch private condo.
Dude, get out of here. It's not a good time. The force is strong with me here.
Are endless.
Somebody tell me what the damn red button's for.
It's light speed, kid.
Light speed.
Yeah.
Punch it!
Featuring Princess Leia, Lando Calrissian, Darth Maul, Shooter McGavin, the warehouse guy from The Office, the guy from Tropic Thunder, Jay, the guy from Die Hard 4, the puppet from Sun Tzu, and Captain James T. Kirk. Fanboys.
Quick, into the garbage chute.
I have a bad feeling about this.
You guys don't think that
we are in George Lucas's trash room.
The walls are not going to close in on us.
That was the trailer for Fanboys, and Todd, that was the trailer I viewed earlier that we saw again released on February 6th, 2009. Line of showing Kevin Smith and it saying the guy from Die Hard 4 really that got me in tears just now. Several cameo appearances that were really fun, especially if you're familiar with the films. I apologize profusely. Directed by Kyle Newman, written by Ernest Cline, Adam F. Goldberg, Dan Pulick, starring Dan Fogler, Jay Baruchel, Kristen Bell, Sam Huntington, and Chris Marquette, rather. Also featuring, now in this whole cameo that they mentioned at the end of the trailer, they said the warehouse guy from The Office. This also actually includes Roy, who's Pam's fiance for the first 2 years from the show, also in this movie, who also hilarious. But
you can see him, he was already balding then too.
Yeah. From start to end, I was on board with this. They did a fantastic job of setting up a reason for so much stupidity. I do believe something about Dan Fogler as an actor, or I don't know if it's always his characters, but something seems, I want to see, say, like a.
I'm curious where you're going.
You have a Target version, and then you have, or no, maybe you have like the luxury version, and then you have the Target version.
Are you saying like you're Kirkland Roman Reigns? Is that what you're trying to like give us something?
Sure.
Like
that? This isn't about me, but whatever. Like, I guess like you could call me the Kirkland Roman Reigns, right? Okay. Or the discount Roman Reigns. I feel this guy, Dan Fogler, is like the discount, really funny guy we couldn't get. Like, it's like almost like, I mean, like he's okay, but I almost feel like there should be something more with that kind of character. Like, funny.
He is kind of a one joke guy. Yeah, he's like pretty much always the same character. Like Balls of Fury, he's the same thing.
Sure.
I was really curious. He was supposed to play a young Alfred Hitchcock in a movie where young Alfred Hitchcock ends up in one of his own movies, basically. Like, same scenario that never happened.
Oh, well, that would be something I'd be interesting to see, but maybe it is here. Just something not really with much range, just kind of playing the typical character he always plays, which, I mean, for this movie, kind of works okay. Yeah. Really, I just happened to see Empire Strikes Back the night before I just saw this one. So it was hit me just at the right time, firing on all cylinders.
Would it shock you to hear that the Weinsteins didn't know what to do with this film and it sat on the shelf for a couple of years?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, this was one that I remember waiting for a long time. So I don't know if the theatrical date is when it like just had one-off showing or when it went wide, because I can't remember the time frame.
It said that it opened on February 6th in 8 U.S. markets.
Okay. So that was probably...
It was a limited release.
Okay, so that's probably when they finally put it out.
Did
so they could,
get rid of it.
And then they had a big Blu-ray release. I do remember that. Well, big-ish.
Would you happen to know of any of those special features?
Off the top of my head, no, but we'll come back to that. I'll give you.
We'll definitely come back to that. Now, I didn't mention this from beginning to end. This is a great time, but... Obviously, growing up, like a major, like I'm not as much now as I was then, obviously, but as a kid, hugely, hugely into Star Wars. And it was really, really bizarre at the time for me that I was getting into it, because this was in the early to mid 90s. And a lot of the other kids that I was going to school with weren't really familiar with Star Wars. And I kind of seemed like the outsider, so to speak. Like there is like, one or two other kids in my class that had seen Star Wars and like, you know, we talk about it or whatever, but none of the other kids really knew what we were talking about. It was really strange.
It was that weird in between period after, you know, post the original trilogy, pre the prequels.
Right.
It was
right.
That weird time where it just was like, it was a thing, but it wasn't a thing like it became.
Right. But I, you know, like so crazy, you know, like I signed up for the Star Wars Insider magazines that used to be sent once a quarter. I remember getting a bumper sticker that said, I'm a Star Wars fan. Honk if you, and it shows a picture of R2-D2. Like I was majorly into it. So when it came to all these scenes, when it was them versus the Trekkies, I got a huge kick out of that. Just because it was like my 9-10-year-old self, because I'd always get, because I'd get the Star Wars Insider and then I'd order catalogs from the Sci-Fi Channel. Right. So then I'd like look at all the Star Wars stuff. That's where I first saw Doctor Who stuff. I was like, okay, that looks cool. Excellent. All right. But then I'd like get to the Star Trek stuff and it'd be like, losers. Like
they
like
had their old time.
Sure,
and that
whatever,
was their time.
Like, at age generation. 10. Yeah. Right. At age 10 time. Or whatever. Like I was just whatever. Right. You know, like, so seeing this manifested in the movie, like in the way that it did, oh, it cracked me up pretty well. And the cameos were also great. But if it had to come down to a favorite moment, I can't nail it down because I was having so much fun the entire time. It's, I'd have to say it was this. you have the head Trekkie nerd versus the Seth Rogen pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're played by the same guy. So that was fun to see them cancel each other out in this story to get them out of this conflict. I got a huge kick out of that. But primarily, like, anytime it was the Trekkies versus Star Wars, any comment on that, any commentary on that was hilarious. But I'm so sorry. I really do apologize. This will be the last thing I say. Greg, we, a long, long time ago, not in a galaxy far, far away, actually very nearby here, we used to spend time in a garage, right? Playing video games.
Yep.
So when that scene happened, and then arguing was happening outside in terms of some of the stupidest things you can hear an argument about, especially people going at it 100% into a stupid argument, it kind of triggered some things, like some memories. So I started losing it. And then my girlfriend asks me to pause it. And she says, how is this so funny to you? I'm kind of concerned.
She's still trying to figure you out.
And then I was like, okay, listen, a long time ago, I'm not saying yesterday, but a long time ago.
And not in a galaxy far, far away.
Precisely. Me and Greg were in a garage, and sometimes we'd have stupid arguments, not just not me and him, but between other people. And we'd get really intensely into these arguments about the stupidest things. Henceforth, what we see in manifesting in front of us right now is what I find hilarious. And then she got relieved, and then we continued the movie.
Excellent.
Yeah. But
Did you have to explain the Star Wars jokes? Because rewatching, I was like, you need a little bit of a little grasp of knowledge
there. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, some of the lines were whatever, but there was
some very specific things that you have to be know your Star Wars
to really fully enjoy it. Yes.
Yeah.
There would be some moments where she'd ask, what's so funny about this particularly?
I think you need to know a little more going in than Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So. You, like, you would, seeing the, I think seeing the originals plus episode one would give you the maximum effect. Mm-hmm. For this
movie. No, you should watch episode one when you're done, because you're anticipating to finally get to see episode one.
But the Darth Maul bit you don't really get.
Well, yeah, unless you see episode one, but also more yeah, so in true. Terms of the overall story. I mean, there's a line that said, there's something that's nice about crappy effects and puppets. And that's what was missing from episode one. So when this character says these things, it, at the moment that they're said, with the context in which the scene is laid out, it's a very nice scene. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't really hit as well if you did not know that Phantom Menace contains just a ton of CGI with none of the stuff that made the classic so classic. Or right. The original, so classic, I guess you could say. Like, in just watching Empire Strikes Back on Friday, I'm staring at these AT-ATs, the AT-ATs on Hoth walking, and I'm like, wow, like this is old. Like, yeah. you could, it's claymation, but they stop hide motion. It very well. Or I mean,
not the same thing. Don't insult this.
No, I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm saying it's an antiquated version of what we see today, right?
It's still used, but not as much.
But I mean, I'm just saying it's dated effects, right? Oh, like what the point and at the end of the movie, crappy effects and puppets are kind of what made the movie so great, because it left more to the imagination.
Well, see. I think that line is actually, God, now we're going to go nerd. That's more in reference to the special editions than the actual new film itself. So all you really have to know is the existence of changes made to the Star Wars to remove, because they're talking about the removal of those things that they've done to the series. So it's kind of, I think it's more to it than anything to do with the episode one. It has to do more with the special editions, because they've literally taken the crappy puppets and the digital effects and change them.
I don't want to have this Princess Leia Luke Skywalker conversation.
But I'm not. Am I wrong? We got a third, so.
Oh, I don't want to spoil anything, but you know, I can't illustrate my point without spoiling anything. So okay, I'm
we'll
torn.
Agree to disagree, but I think I'm right. You can't say it's not.
Well, I think you're wrong.
I doubt. We'll let the Discord decide.
One thing I think you're wrong about, Ozzy, is the fact that you say you're not as much of a Star Wars fan as when you are a kid, when you have a light up Lego TIE fighter in your room.
Okay, you know what? Time out. That is uncalled for. It's a lighting kit for a Lego Obi-Wan starfighter. Get it right.
And the best part is I knew that, but I knew you'd correct me to prove the readiness of Star Wars.
Dang it. That was so good.
But I also dislike this whole Star Wars, Star Trek, anti one another. Like, I love both. I think they're both fantastic. They're actually, we have some of the best Star Trek coming out right now with all the different Star Trek shows, including Lower Decks, which is fantastic.
Dan
yes.
says that doesn't count, by the way.
Oh, Dan's dumb. But
so. But you know what? It meets Ozzy's under 30-minute requirement for animation. So
There you go. So, but I think both franchises are fantastic. And this movie, outside of that bit, although it was done in a fun way, so it's not a big deal. This movie was fun. Obviously, I think we know what my favorite part of this film was, and it would maybe be the cameo of Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes. Had a blast.
Kevin Smith from Die Hard 4.
Yes, Kevin, that Kevin Smith. Of course. So, but yeah, this movie was fun.
Todd, did we get into a favorite moment?
Well, Greg did.
We just started arguing about stuff.
You're right, we did. We went into our own thing. You know what? The thing that made me laugh the most on this viewing, interrogation scene. Where's the G-spot? They couldn't answer. But I will say one thing, you know, say what you will about the producer. The creepiest moment for me watching this was the fact that they were stripping to Menudo. Knowing what we know now, that is very appropriate. Just say it.
Of course. Okay, so we all got our favorite moments in.
What was yours, Ozzy? I forgot. Being wrong?
Okay, you know what? One of these guys sees Empire or Phantom Menace, and then it's after that he sees Phantom Menace, he says that line. You know what? What made the old movie so great were the crappy effects and the puppets. Because he just saw episode one, all right? There!
Okay.
I'm not wrong. Not wrong. Okay. The peyote scene. I lost it during the peyote scene.
That was fantastic as well.
I mean, the movie's chock full of moments. And, you know, seeing the Trekkie versus Star Wars guys, that's really funny to see. But the peyote scene was great. Absolutely. Okay,
you know
so going...
Funny?
What's that?
I'm just going to tell you this. Because I'm going to cut that part out because Ozzy gives a spoiler. And then he's never going to get to be right at his point. So there you go.
Yes. Producer privileges.
Let's have a long beep. Maybe I'll put it on Patreon for you.
Okay. All right. So let's get into our reviews. I'm sorry. And I'm into our ratings, rather. This is the review. Todd, do you want to start us off with the ratings here?
No, he doesn't.
I'm on 4 out of 5 on this one. I do really like this one. I'm glad we got to watch it this year. Was this both of you guys' first time on this one?
Yeah.
Yes, it was my first time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I'm curious, what'd you guys give it?
Greg?
Yeah, this was a fun flick. I did find a lot of funny moments throughout the whole thing. Even their map that was like, this is our plan we made, and it's just like a straight line, basically. I'm right there with you, Todd. I think it's four. It's a fun movie. Has some great moments in it. Not outstanding, but not bad at all.
What I really enjoyed about it is that you had several of the stupid and a lot of the Star Wars humor there that if you're familiar with the films, it gives you that extra bonus. It's like the special sauce on a burger, right? Just hits it that much better for you. But what I also really appreciated about it was the heart that they merged in with it, especially the heart that's involved in the in close to the final scene. When something is referred to that is something that is the subject by which the film is all about, and a reference is made to that film, but some people think it's talking about some other films. So I'd recommend watching the originals and episode one, so that line that character says is funnier.
Well, I think you should still watch it after so you can experience like he did, but I mean, it still works with everything Lucas did with the special edition. So the line still works fine.
Well, and also,
because the other people haven't experienced it, the perspective that they should have should just be that of not seeing it also. But they should also have the knowledge of the Star Wars special editions.
On the contrary. Here's the thing. Okay. Is because that impact of not having those crappy effects or the puppets in episode one, but those characters not knowing that would be the case, but him saying it is him saying, you know what? We were looking forward to this new movie that we were never going to see together. But in actuality, we had everything we needed right here in front of us, just like him with his friends. He's happy he's there right now. And it tied in to the whole plot of the movie. So take that, Todd. Five from me. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Spite five.
And it's
a five.
It's a five from my Obi-Wan starship as well.
Is that your first spite five?
It is not a spite five. It was going to be a five anyway.
Okay.
Well, and spite to be
point.
Fair,
spite point.
All you got to do is tell Ozzy you're going to cut him. He gets all fired up. I'm sorry, Ozzy. I will acknowledge you.
There we go.
Dang it.
And to be fair, if you watch episode one, the last line of this film is even funnier.
All right. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to go with Greg's recommendation, not Ozzy's. So watch that one too. Well, he turned me on it.
Well, you can choose to not accept the depth that this movie provides and be in the same camp as Todd, or
I actually
go ahead and join me and Greg, who share the same opinion, and watch the three originals plus Phantom Menace before watching this one.
Well, let's be real. Most people are watching this have probably already seen them, so.
Yeah. That's a good point. So our argument was completely pointless. Just like the one beginning in the film, which is what made that conversation so funny to me, because little did I know I was going to have a very similar conversation the very next day about the film in which it eats itself. It's a loop that just keeps eating itself and you get lost in it. So that was the review of Fanboys. Unfortunately, as of today, April 28th, it is not available to stream. Actually, I take that back. It is available to stream on some of the lesser known streaming platforms. And I'll pull those up shortly. But it is available to... I'm sorry, Todd?
I was going to say, while you're looking them up, I was going to tell you the special features.
For the Blu-ray?
Yes.
What do you got?
We got the introduction to the film by the director and producer, commentary by cast and crew.
Okay.
Deleted scenes.
Okay.
The truth about Fanboys. It's a little documentary. Star Wars Parallel, another doc. Four Fanboys and One Fangirl, another little documentary. The choreography one. Disturbance in the Force, series of webisodes. So
interesting.
Then you have the Fanboys Goes Global, Fanboys the Comic Book, and Fanboys the Gallery. So those are some image galleries. So
I'd be very interested. Yeah, I'd be very interested to watch the commentary and what they have to say about that last scene. Todd. I'm visually giving you the finger right now. I wasn't sure if you're picking up on that, but it's happening. Anyway, this film, Fanboys, as of April 28th, is available to stream on Roku with ads, YouTube with ads, Tubi with ads, Canopy free, and that's Canopy with a K. You also have it available. Sorry, go ahead.
That's a service that if you have a library card, you can just check it out like on your phone. It's pretty cool. Or app.
Oh, cool.
Well, there you go. And then there's also available from the Just Watch website is Plex. That is available free as well and is available with ads on FreeVee. And, of course, available to purchase or rent wherever you purchase or consume your favorite digital content.
Basically, wherever the Weinsteins could put this thing up, it's up streaming for free somewhere.
Indeed. Some more quick updates. Again, going to be hosting trivia this week. Monday at the Rush Bar and Grill in Lake Forest, beginning at 6:30. Tuesday at the Brewery in Placentia, beginning at 7 o'clock. Wednesdays in Los Alamitos at Griffin's Grill, as of right now, beginning at 7:30. Thursdays at the Honeypot Meadery in Anaheim, beginning at 7:30. As always, free to play prizes for top winning teams. Every song has got something to do with the answer. And on the wrestling corner, I didn't want to hog this segment over. Did you guys have anything you'd like to share before I continue?
Go for it.
All righty. Fantastic. Oh, I'm sorry, Todd or Greg. Is there something?
No. Oh, there's a new Little Big album out. That's awesome. No, I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. So a couple of quick announcements. First, on Friday, May 10th, there is Dream Slam Wrestling happening, Lucha Lot Mania. That will be in Santa Ana at 119 North Bush Street. And that will be happening May 10th at 7 p.m., scheduled to last until 10 p.m. Rilla Wolf is going to be taking on Bovi, and Enoch the Enlightened is potentially going to ban me from ringside and all my individuals that I'm representing. So I might have something to say about that. I'm not sure, but if I do, I'm not going to be happy about it. Also moving on, May 25th in Corona for 3PWA at the UFC gym. Be sure to check that out. I do have an address here for specifics. That is the UFC gym on 470 McKinley Street in Corona. The doors open at 6:30 with a bell time of 7 p.m. Definitely check that out. I'll be there and you will hear me for sure. And I believe that's all I got for the evening. And if you guys don't have anything else, and I presume you don't, we'll be back next week with the new episode. So for world famous juggler Greg Larson and Flesh Wound producer Todd, I'm Ozzy V, and we'll see you next week right here on a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Farce.